Hello, everyone, and welcome to Oh, a Podcast, the podcast about playing games and making games, brought to you by Oarak Studios. I'm Paul Franzen, the head boy of Oarak.
And I'm Michael Gray. I'm the leg boy of Oarak.
The leg boy?
Well, you already got the head boy. I don't know what other body parts are left.
That's perfect. Okay, wait. We're sticking with that one. That one's really good. Sorry, that's it. That's it. We're done. That's your official title now.
Oh, boy.
So how's it going, leg boy?
I don't know. I remember we were supposed to talk about the typo game last month.
Wow, good job.
That's what I was trying to remember.
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys remember, we mentioned this a couple times the last couple podcasts that I was working on a prototype of an adventure game based on a real life book. I'm not going to mention the name of the book. I'm probably not allowed to, but it was this is going to be selling a short book, but it was a book about correcting typos. And the way the story was written, it occurred to me that, man, this book is just ripe for a point-and-click adventure game. So I started tweeting back and forth with the actual author of the book, and he gave me the go-ahead to make a prototype. And so I did. It was, what, like two screens? One was set in the main character's bathroom, one was set in a mall, and you had to go around correcting typos, but like the puzzle wasn't just like pointing out that there was an apostrophe that was wrong. You had to like figure out a way to access the thing in order to correct it and then use the right tools in order to correct it.
So yeah, like there's a sign that has a typo and you need to convince the store owner to let you change their sign.
Exactly. Like there was, I think the one in the mall, like there was a kiosk and it was a perfume stand, I think. So there was someone like spraying perfume and you had to go and like replace the perfume bottle with a bottle of glitter.
What?
And then it would just cause enough chaos that you could sneak in there and correct a typo.
Why was this game not made?
Right? Like, oh man, I really kind of feel like we should try to find a way to make this game without infringing on anyone's copyright. It's in like the original book. There was like this whole like road trip angle to it. There was a love story. There was all kinds of stuff going on. But then when I sent the finished prototype to the writer, he was into it, and then he checked with his book agent at that point, and the book agent said that legally we couldn't make the game. Like, we could make it, but we could only use, like, there was a certain amount of, like, words and story from the book that we could legally use, and we could not use more than that, right? And at that point, we would have just had to come up with a whole new story anyway. Which seemed kind of pointless. Like, the whole point of the game was to make a game based on this specific story. So if we couldn't really use the story, there was little point in going forward with the game.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a whole thing. It was kind of disappointing. I'd wish we'd found that out before I went to the trouble to make the prototype and get Michael here to help out with the art.
Yeah. I mean, you had me do just random art, wasn't it? Because somebody did the backgrounds and the characters.
Yeah.
And so I had to do the inventory items and the cursor, I think.
That sounds right, yeah. I mean, it was cool, though. I mean, the prototype ended up being kind of a mishmash of styles because we did have a few different people working on it. But, I mean, the gameplay was pretty solid. Like, it was a good idea. I really wish it could have gone forward. You know, maybe if we do want to put our heads together, we can figure out a way to make it work. But yeah, there was, like, weird, like, I'm not going to use the word drama, but issues with some of the art going into the game, too. Like, I had actually contracted someone to, like, draw the characters, and I paid them, and they kind of dragged their feet and took forever to get it done. And that's fine. You know, that's the sort of thing that happens in game development. It's one of the reasons why I like working with friends so much more. Or friends and, like, just people I trust, people I have existing relationships with, you know. I want to be able to believe that someone's going to do the thing they do before we actually start moving forward on a game.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what those legal issues are, because I haven't played many other games that are based on books. I've seen a couple which are, you know, just public domain things. I'm sure there are 100 Alice in Wonderland and Wizard of Oz books. I mean, games, video games.
Yeah, okay. I actually, I just brought up the original email from October 2012. Which is when this project basically died. Yeah, so they checked with the publisher, and the publisher said we would need to limit the directly quoted book text to fair use level. So it would have to be 500 words or less, and any more than that, we would have run into some problems. So they couldn't secure the rights from the book publisher to actually let us move forward with the game.
Why would the book publisher not want to do that?
Yeah, it's a...
It's weird, because now I'm going to have to look up. I think it's the Nancy Drew Model Mysteries, which that's a video game which is very much just directly based off the books. And it's awful, by the way. Don't get it. The books are awful, so making a trilogy off of the worst... I mean, making a game based off the worst trilogy is just... It's just a bad idea. But I just have to wonder why or what was going on there.
It's for what it's worth, it's a big name publisher. Again, I don't want to use any specifics because it's not my place to. But it is a known publisher. So it could just be, you know, they're too big to want to deal with an indie developer or to even like want to be bothered with this stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if anyone who's listening to this is, you know, really excited about this idea, I could try to reopen discussions with the author again. So tweet, email me, paul@orrock.com. If you really want to see this typo game, I can get in touch with them. It was a whole bunch of years ago, so, you know, maybe stuff's changed since then. But I doubt it. Yeah, man, now I'm bummed out. This was a bummer of a way to start this podcast.
Okay, so, getting back to what I was saying, Nancy Drew the Model Mysteries, it's clear that they were making the game in conjunction with making the books, if that makes sense. So, I mean, this game came out in between books 2 and 3 of the trilogy. Looks like that's what the date is. And it's pretty solid in that it follows the trilogy pretty closely. It's just a really awful trilogy, and so that just makes things all the worse. And it's... It's a hidden objects game on the Nintendo DS, and it does the thing where the Nintendo DS screen is not big enough for a hidden objects challenge. So what you have to do is scroll the screen in order to see all of it, if that makes sense.
Awesome.
So
yeah.
You can only see like a sixth of the screen at once, and oh, I have to find the hidden objects, but I can only see 1/6 of the screen at once due to the hardware limitations. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, if I kind of feel like hidden object games on any portable system is probably not a, you know, a great idea. Like, the screen's so small to begin with, they'd have to be pretty big hidden objects in order to even see anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it works with the iPad or, I guess, one of those larger ones, but...
Yeah, I mean, a tablet is, you know, like 2 or 3 times as big as the screen on a 3DS, or a DS, I should say.
Mm-hmm, so it kind of works there. There's like one scene in the game which isn't actually in the actual trilogy. It makes me wonder what's going on, what happened, but yeah. So, I mean, just looking for video games that were based on books, it's mostly just licensed stuff.
Yeah.
Alice in Wonderland, Animorphs, Agatha Christie, Conan the Barbarian, Dinotopia.
Oh my god, I would love to get the Animorphs license.
They've only made 3 Animorphs video games. Yeah.
None of them were adventure games, I don't think.
One was an adventure game. That was the PlayStation one. It had adventure game puzzles, if that makes sense.
Did it really? Okay.
It had like the... You know, our characters pick up a shovel and carry it around for 2 hours until they reach the place where they actually have to use it. I've only seen one review of the game, but that person just really, really just hated it.
Yeah, I just looked it up on Wikipedia. It's called Animorphs Shattered Reality. It came out in 2000 for the PlayStation 1. You have to collect pieces of the Continuum Crystal using various animal morphs. I mean, yeah, I feel like the morphing part would like really lend itself well to an adventure game style interface, right? That's another license we most likely cannot get the rights to.
But nobody's doing anything with Animorphs. Come on, give it to us.
I know.
Like, I can understand you're not giving us the rights to Harry Potter, although I don't...
Oh, man.
But you know, we haven't had a new Babysitter's Club book in a while. Let's do it.
Oh. Well, then we still might get the Nancy Drew one. If, based on how her interactive's been going lately.
Oh,
yeah, no, that was a cheap shot. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if anyone at her interactive's listening. I'm not even mad with you guys. I'm just amused by all the comments they get whenever they try to make an update about the Nancy Drew game, and they try to be like very rational and calm and explain, like, I'm sorry, guys, this is what's going on. And all the comments are just so mean.
Like, no, it's been 2 years. Where's the next game? And,
yeah.
And then Kingdom Hearts fans are like, seriously, what?
Oh, man. So GameCola is getting ready for its year-end awards, right? So I was rereading some of the old articles. Kingdom Hearts 2 won an award. It came out in the year 2006. Kingdom Hearts 2 came out 11 years ago. Oh. And 3, like, still doesn't even have a release date. Sorry, it came out, it was either 05 or 06, either way.
That's still, yeah, it's been a long time. You know, I keep wishing that we could get the rights to do, I love the 1980s Hardy Boys Case File series, and I would just love to do a game based on that, but it's like, I have no idea how I'd even go about getting the rights for it.
I still want to do a game based on the hit webcomic Pug's Adventure. I think we can get the rights to that one.
We actually can't get the rights. The character Pug is based on, I think, what was her name? Boots and Her Buddies comic strip, which was in the 40s by Edgar Martin. And I just stole that character. Just because I liked the way the character looked. I didn't steal the personality or anything like that.
All right, so we just need to come up with some new character designs then. We could still do this.
I wouldn't say stole slash heavily based, because I wasn't good enough to draw the exact way that person did, but that author was clearly basically a clothing model. He apparently, you know, did clothing model designs, and that's what he did, and he got roped into doing a comic strip. It's like, here, just have a bunch of gorgeous women doing fancy poses all the time, like you normally do. It'll be a cinch, buddy.
Yeah, I think I was trying to reread them on your blog, but I don't think the links are working anymore.
Yeah, they are. They probably aren't.
They're all on some old home.comcast.net website. They're all hosted there, or were hosted there.
Yeah, they were. Yeah,
the links are all dead now. Oh no! Oh, that's so sad. Poor Pug's Adventure.
But that's okay. I mean, I did reuse the one Pug's Adventures character for my Nigerian prince, Caitlin, or whatever her name was.
Oh, someday. But yeah, so speaking about Michael doing art for games, you've been showing me some new pixel art you've been doing for the Room Escape game and the new artistic method you've been employing. You want to tell us a little about that?
Yes. Let me get my pictures up. Artistic method. You make it sound so much fan. Anyway, what I've been trying to do is the pixel art, because this is going to be like an old-style adventure game, although I wrote it like a modern casual adventure game, so I have no idea how this blending of the two genres is ever going to work. But what part should I talk about first? Which item in the room? So basically the way I've been doing it is I did it item by item. There are like 6 different items in the room, and every time I do the artwork for an item, I just pass it on to Paul and say, does this look good? Does it? Does this look like sandpaper? And he's like, no, that looks like a roll of toilet paper. And I'm like, okay, it's a roll of toilet paper now.
I was going to say, it was a really good roll of toilet paper.
I think I actually improved it. I think I made it a little bit taller, didn't I?
Yeah.
Could be. Anyway, it's a roll of toilet paper now, and we've got a new puzzle involving that, which is fine.
Awesome.
I'll just use that with a... I'll just turn that into a joke, I guess. Because I know there's a puzzle later on when you're supposed to clean up a spill. And so I'll just have the same thing, like you use the roll of toilet paper towels. Yeah, I made it taller to make it a wad of toilet paper towels.
Okay.
So basically I'm going to do the thing where you have the same puzzle twice. Where it's like, first time you use the wad of toilet paper towels, you know, to clean up a spill. And then the second time you have to use like a shirt to clean up the spill. And I think the term is lampshade, but make a joke about it in the script. So like when our hero does it, it's like, gee, too bad I threw out that toilet paper roll earlier. It's like, why do I throw out every item after using it exactly once?
That's strange. Like trolling the player. I like it.
I think I made one or two attempts. I've totally forgotten the adventure game script, or the script at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are plenty of times where you've got multiple items that you should be able to use, but the game is only accepting one answer.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I need a thing of water. It's like, well, I could use a glass, I could use the coffee cup, or I could use the old shoe, and the game is expecting old shoe. It will not accept it if I try to scoop water in a coffee cup.
Well, does it give a reason why you can't use the coffee cup?
No.
No?
I've seen games where there's a reason, and there's a game where there is no reason, and so I
think... Oh, man, I don't know. That could make people upset.
It does make it upset. So I was thinking, yeah. I don't know if I wrote something to make fun of it when games do that, because those games should be made fun of, because that's ridiculous. Well,
for whatever it's worth, it wouldn't be a problem to program multiple possible solutions into the game. Like, it could easily be made so that the solution works with either the coffee mug or the cup or the shoe, although the shoe is clearly the best answer.
Yeah, I think what we'd have to do at that point is... basically program it so if the person does that, you know, they use the shoe, but the shoe was actually intended to go with the sock, that the shoe would just stay in the inventory instead of disappearing after you use it.
Oh, yeah, that's totally simple. Like, that's not even a thing. That we can totally do that. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, we'll have to keep in mind it when we do the script. But, yeah. So I started off with doing emergency ketchup, I believe.
That is like the most beautiful pixelated ketchup bottle I've ever seen in my life. I think you did a fantastic job with that.
It's funny because I took forever trying to spell out the word emergency. Well, I think we should start with what was our first email was trying to figure out what size the screen. And I know we discussed this on our last podcast, but we still have no idea how it works. What widescreen is. So what I did was I just took a photograph. I played a video game when I knew it was widescreen and did print screen and then just copy pasted the game screen that.
This is definitely how real professional developers do it, by the way.
Yeah, and so I shrunk that to however many pixel, 400 pixels tall, I believe. And then and then I made I started off by trying to make emergency ketchup. Simply because what I did was I made a rectangle and then a smaller rectangle inside. You know, if you've seen one of those emergency fire things, that's what it's supposed to look like. Like, emergency, here's an emergency fire extinguisher.
But it's a bottle of ketchup.
Yeah. But, I started with that because it'd be easy, because it's literally just a box. So all I have to do is make four straight lines. Color it red, and then I had the hardest time trying to write out actual letters, the word emergency.
No, they came out well. I didn't even realize you had written it out. I thought it was just a font, so it looks good.
Yeah, no. So what I did was, let me see, I thought, oh, this is different, right? I had to change it. But it's like, okay, each letter is going to be 5 characters wide is what I decided, and then so-and-so characters tall. And when I say characters, I mean pixels, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I literally just did the pixels, and E is pretty simple, the letter C is pretty simple, letter G is pretty simple. But then the M, I have no idea how to do the M, because that involves doing crooked lines, and so that was just really difficult. And so I made it, I got it to Paul, and he said, no, this is too tall. 400 pixels is too tall. It's not pixelated enough. And so I had to shrink it to 200 pixels tall. Or no. What you wanted to do was have it sent to the same height as a beard in the mirror.
Yeah, that was my original idea,
But then Adventure Game Studio updated, apparently.
Yeah, so I think it updated a while ago, but... I mean, I finished The Beard in the Mirror last year, so I haven't downloaded any updates to AGS since then. And in the newest version, there aren't any restrictions on resolution. You can do whatever you want. You could make it, like, tall if you want. Like, you could make it the resolution of a sheet of paper, for example.
Is it possible to do something where, like, the game switches resolution partway through? Like, for the sake of one puzzle, all of a sudden the screen is super tall?
Be amazing. I don't know. I'll look it up.
Yeah, so what I'm doing right now is I'm trying to touch up this ketchup bottle. Weirdest thing is saving a picture in I made it in Paint, and then I saved it in Paint, and paint caused, like, automatic pixelation, if that makes sense. So, basically, a red box. You think every, you know, I use the paint bucket to make it red. Every single pixel should be the exact same shade of red. And that's what it was until I saved it in paint and then reopened it, and all of a sudden it's a different shade of red. I have no idea what happened there. And so what I'm doing now, you know, while we're doing this podcast is while I'm here on, I'm just going through Photoshop and trying to change it so every single pixel of red is the exact same shade of red. Because it looks to me to be random that some pixels were just randomly darkened and some were just like randomly lightened a shade. I don't know what...
On the box or the ketchup bottle itself?
I'm talking about just the box.
Because I think the ketchup bottle looks pretty good. I mean, there's like... There's almost shading on the left-hand side where it's a much lighter shade of red.
Yeah, the ketchup bottle shading is on purpose. The shading actual red box itself is not.
Okay. Good, I just wanted to make sure you weren't getting rid of the cool shading on the ketchup bottle. Awesome.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying now. I'm looking at it, too. Yeah, that's weird. It adds, like, a kind of graphical... I think I've heard the word artifacts used for that before. I might be wrong, but I totally see what you're getting at.
Yeah, so it's just, I guess, just a weird thing that,
Yeah, I would blame paint for that.
Paint, yeah, no, I mean, because it looked perfectly fine in paint, then I saved it and reopened it, and it wasn't fine. I think I've got it fixed now, except for one pixel here and the letter R, so let me fix it.
Yeah, I mean, now that you mention that, I think I remember that coming up, too, with, you remember Be Careful What You Search For over on GameCola?
Mm-hmm.
Their comic about Google search terms. I remember that that would do something similar, too. I think Terrence was drawing it in paint and sending it to me, and then I would go to put it on the website, and it would have all these, like, weird, like, kind of dots all over the image where they weren't supposed to be, and I remember for a few of them, at least, I had to go and try to fix them before we went to publish. So, yeah, as I said, I blame paint.
Yeah, it's paint. It's definitely paint's fault. Yeah, so with the ketchup bottle itself, so I mean, I made this box, you know, I wrote ketchup, I wrote emergency ketchup, I did that all by myself, I made the interior, but I actually needed a bottle of ketchup, and so what I did was I went to Pixabay and just shrunk their, they had a free stock photo of ketchup, I think, which was sort of like pre-made, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Of it's a vector image. I don't know what that means, but it basically means it's got a transparent background.
Yeah.
So I took it, I shrunk it so it fit the size of the box, and it pretty much looked perfect. So that was good.
Yeah, I mean, I think it looks really good in the screenshot you sent me.
Yeah, I tried doing it with some of the other stuff, like the microwave. You know, I took a picture of my microwave. That you know, and I shrunk it, and so it looks good. I had to do a lot of touch-up to make it actually look better, because it kind of looked horrible when it first came. But that's still a really good strategy, is to, you know, if I take a real-life picture and I just shrink it and use that to base something off of, that works. That's how I got my toilet paper roll. And the dresser is interesting, because the dresser is completely a different color and a different size, so I had to change a lot of that stuff just by hand, but... It took forever for us to get the dresser figured out. I think I sent you like five of them. It's like, here's it different colors. Here's it different heights. And it's like, well, it needs to be bigger than the microwave, which is perched upon it. But if we shrink the microwave, now the ketchup bottle is huge.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to see what it looks like in the game, because it's still, I'm looking at it right now. Like the ketchup bottle is like almost the same size as the cabinet.
Ketchup bottle is, yeah, basically the same.
It's a very large ketchup bottle.
It's the same size as the toilet paper roll, though, and that looks good.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, I'm sure as the scene comes together, too, it'll start looking better. And yeah, but I think this is looking really good. I'm really happy about
this. The scene comes together. It's basically done. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I've just got the picture of the... I need to double check.
Well, weren't we going to do something with the wall, too? Because right now it's just, like, a white.
Yeah. Well, so we'll shake.
Yeah, that's all I meant, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't mean, like, you need to, you know, we need to completely redo everything.
Not again. But other items, doing a carpet. So I think originally my carpet was ugly, and then you sent me, it's like, I want this style of carpet with lines on it.
Yeah, we added a nice pattern to it. It looks good.
But that pattern just took forever.
Oh, well, it came out really well.
I'm glad it did, but yeah. I had no idea how to actually do a pattern, because I did that all by hand. And so it's like, okay, here's the one loop, that's great. Here's the other loop, that's great. And then by the time I do the third one, I was off by a pixel or something.
No.
It clearly is. If you zoom in and pay super close attention, I don't know. It's like, wait, this stripe needs to be 5 pixels long, and for some reason it's 5 pixels long on the top and then 4 pixels long.
Oh, no, sorry. You need to completely redo it now.
No.
It's ruined.
Oh.
No, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, and that doesn't match either. I can't look at it anyway.
No, that's fine.
It was supposed to be... I don't know what the word is. It's not perpendicular or parallel, but a mirror image of each other, I guess. So the top half of the rug would be the same as the bottom half of the rug, and it's currently not that. That is currently not the case. But
I think it looks fine.
Yeah. So that was cool. It was interesting with the dresser. You saying that the dresser we need. It's like it looks weird to have a dresser which is closed. You have to be able to open the dresser.
Oh, yeah, because I was just picturing the player. I think the first thing, if you see a dresser or any kind of drawer in an adventure game, the first thing you're going to do is try to open it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have a dresser, we have to be able to open it. And I mean, I guess we could just say it's locked, but it's also a good excuse to add more items. Like, we have a thing right there we can put items in, so good to take advantage of that.
Yeah, so in moving things around and adding an extra puzzle... So the toilet paper roll puzzle. So we'll see if I'll add another puzzle, but it looks good. Next, I guess I just have to work on the. When I finish screen number one, I'll move on to screen number two. But it's been working pretty well for me doing the art for this.
Good. I'm very glad to hear that.
Okay, so I've got I've started on the second screen. I've got a really fancy looking pillar. I just need to fix. There's going to be a hot dog on the pillar, but...
This game.
Yeah, I wrote it like this on purpose. It's great.
This is going to be so good.
But, part of the problem I realized partway through, too, is that, you know, the screen looks great with all the items on it, but the player is going to pick up the items... And so I need to have a picture, you know, a copy of it without any of the items there, too.
So have you been working with layers on Photoshop?
Yeah, so I tried to convert most of the things to layers.
Okay, yeah, because that's the easy way to do that, because then you just hide the layer to do the version of the image without the object on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the way AGS works, so the background is the version of the background without any of these objects, and then I individually place the objects on the screen.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. No. That makes sense. So that's the main thing I've been working on. We haven't been doing any. What have you been doing on our game front?
Pizza a lot,
Boy.
Actually.
Oh wait. Yeah. There were like a million things you emailed me about, and I totally ignored and said we'll save it for the podcast.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about them right now?
Sure. Pizza Boy delivery game. You wanted a newscaster?
Oh yeah, so I had this cool idea, right? There's a scene. So I just started coding chapter 2. In the beginning of chapter 2, there's the main character is Doug is watching the news, and there's a bit of dialogue from a newscaster. So it occurred to me that we could like actually record like a newscaster delivering this line on Fiverr.com. I found a couple different people that I could pay $5 to dress as a newscaster and CGI a fake set behind them and deliver these lines. I thought that might be kind of interesting and introduce a little FMV element to the game.
So, yeah, because all the characters are real-life pictures, too.
Exactly, yeah. So I thought that would be kind of cool.
I think the line is... the line itself is a throwaway line, isn't it?
It is.
It's like in the news, the local high school football team lost another game.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe that's not where we want to put my $5 of budget, but I mean, and the thing was, too, that they would record, I forget how many lines it was, or words, I think it was like 50 words, and it was basically double what we had in the script. So if we wanted, we could actually do two scenes like that for $5. If that's something we're interested in. If it's not, we don't have to.
Where else could we slip it in? But I feel like we would have to make it plot relevant.
Yeah, sure.
Because the line right now is, in the script, Joe meets future Joe, or is his name still Joe? No, it's Doug now.
Yeah, it's, sorry. Doug Rivers is the default name, but you can type in your own name.
Okay.
Or whatever name you
okay,
want.
Okay, so his name was Joe then.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be Joe. Actually, when I've been testing it, I type in his first name as Argyle and his last name is Fump.
No.
That's funny.
Anyway,
yeah.
When he meets his future self, I had a hard time writing the scenes where what he and his future self would talk about. And so one of the things that's like his future self says, it's like, well, 30 years in the future, your cousin is still obsessed with the local high school football team.
Right.
And the 1 year they won every single game. And I thought that was funny, because that's something people do in real life. It's like, oh, gosh, remember when the Bears won the Super Bowl in 1986? It's
sure,
like,
sure,
that
sure.
that was 31 years ago. Why are you still talking about it?
Yeah. But the newscaster also does start to mention something about the local animal shelter, which is not, like, directly related to the plot, but I feel like it's kind of like an Easter egg almost. Like, it has something to do with the plot that I don't really want to get into.
Yeah, that people won't know at that point in the game yet.
Yeah, so I mean, there is a little bit of plot relevancy there.
Yeah, but basically that line was there just because later on, just to confirm that the local high school football team is terrible.
Sure.
So,
oh, see, so it has both parts of the line have to do with the plot,
so
sort of.
So kind of later on, when the future self mentions, oh boy, you know, our uncle is still kind of obsessed with the crappy football team.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a random idea I had when I was browsing Fiverr, and I came across that. So we can do it, or we could not do it. I thought it might be interesting. I was trying to think of an interesting way to do that scene, because otherwise, how do I lay it out? Like, I could get a picture of a TV and, like, a stock photo online of a newscaster, but I thought that would look kind of weird, considering most of the other characters and backgrounds are, like, actual people that we know, or, you know, they were photographs that were taken specifically for the game, so I didn't really want to put a stock image there and kind of ruin that aesthetic, so I think that's why I was thinking something like this would be cool. I mean, we could also just get someone to dress as a newscaster and take a picture of them and do that, like in a nice suit, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could work too. Let me see. Mm-hmm. What other point in the game is Doug at his room, where he's in his room? I know after he gets fired, he goes into his room.
Oh, maybe he could be watching the news in the kitchen. Or the TV could be on in the kitchen or something. But that would be, like, that doesn't exist in the game right now, that there's a TV in the kitchen. So that would be, I don't know.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So another thing with the game is you sent me character art.
I did?
You sent me like a version of Chapter 1 and said, please look at it. And I played through and I got to like the first delivery and
sorry.
My game crashed. So I'm like, okay. But along with that, you sent a bunch of character art saying, if any of these pictures look like they're not good,
Yeah, I wanted to give you the option to, if you didn't think a particular pose or expression lined up with the dialogue, I wanted to give you the opportunity to suggest a change, and then I could just make the change. I mean, you're the designer, you're the director, you know what the game, what people's expressions should look like better than I do.
I guess you're right.
If you don't want to, you don't have to. I mean, I did spend a lot of time, like, trying to match things up as best I could, but I mean, Pobody's nerfed, right?
Yeah, I know, but me myself, should remember what poses I was trying to do at the moment, you know, what line of dialogue it was.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got some pictures that haven't just made it into the game yet, because it's a...
Yep, and...
Okay.
And you're welcome to use those. Just tell me which images you want, and if it's one that I haven't edited yet, I will go ahead and edit it.
Okay. And any other thing about Pizza Delivery Boy?
I don't remember.
Cat President achievements.
Oh yeah,
that's the
other thing. That's the other big thing I've been working on this month. So besides coding the Pizza Delivery Boy Save the World, I've been updating Cat President. I've corrected a lot of typos that people have mentioned in their Let's Play videos, but the real big thing I'm adding to the game is Steam achievements, which I have never gotten to play with before, and it's been kind of fun.
So,
It turned out to be a lot easier than I thought it would be.
I think the only achievement I could think of was, I feel like some of the achievements should be for, like, the joke pathways. I'm thinking specifically Frisky, where the harem scene, where if you choose to go along with the harem, that unlocks an achievement called Full House.
I like it. I actually almost included an achievement for the Space Jam debate.
So. Yeah, but I can't think of any other instances where, if you choose, quote-unquote, the wrong answer, the game goes on for a while. Normally, if you choose the wrong answer, the game will give you two or three lines and then go back to be exactly the same no matter which option you choose, because that's how...
But I had a lot of fun coming up there. So there's one achievement that I think people are going to like this one. It's just called Marry a Cat. It's just an achievement if you get an ending where you marry one of the cats in the game. And setting that up actually wasn't as simple as I thought it was going to be, because the way I had remembered it was that in every good ending, you end up marrying the cat candidate. But that's not true. It was only like two or three of the endings where you get married. So I was, going, like, really kind of poring over the text to make sure I wasn't giving the achievement to people erroneously. Same thing for, there's an achievement for becoming president, and in almost all of the good endings, your cat becomes president, but not all of them. Not 100% of them, so.
That's weird. Wow, I guess I'm just so inconsistent.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think it's inconsistent, it's just the way the story played out, like... Some of the games, the story, some of the pathways, the story was done before the election, Like, so a lot of them focused much more on the primary than the final.
That's right. I feel like we could also have, like that fishing bear statue. Click on the bear statue.
wait, here, guy. I think the list I sent you isn't 100% up to date, so I'm looking at the one that I actually
used. Yeah, the
now.
One you sent me was basically become president, finish any ending, one for each of the characters, do all the endings, check out bonus, mess up typing in your name in the beginning. What?
So I added an achievement for... I actually saw someone do this in a Let's Play. They, when you get the point where, in the very beginning of the game, where you can type in your name, it automatically populates that field with the name Abigail. Abigail's the default name. And I saw someone delete the name and then press enter by mistake. So then they played through the game as a blank name. So that's actually one of the bugs I fixed. You can't do that now. If your name is blank, it'll just default you to Abigail anyway. But I thought it'd be funny to give an achievement for someone who did that called You Had One Job.
What if you name your character after one of the candidates?
Oh, that would be interesting. You can do that right now.
That sounds like an achievement. Like, you choose to be Rover, and then you do the Rover storyline. Call it self-love. Yeah.
That's pretty good. Okay, I can do that. Let's see, what else did I get? I have one for Meet the Developers. That's if you find both the Thunderpaw supporter character who... is a picture of me, and the H. Enchman character, who is a picture of Michael. Once you find both of those characters in the game, you get an achievement for that.
That achievement was the coolest picture ever, wasn't it?
Did you see that on Twitter? Yes. I was really happy about that picture. I kind of want to make it my Twitter icon. Let's see, another one for called Like and Subscribe. I added links to Oarock Studios Facebook and Twitter accounts on the main menu of the game, and now if you click on one of them, you get an achievement for doing it. It's like stuff like that. Like, it's weird because a visual novel is kind of a tough game to come up with achievements for, because like there's no like combat. It's all very straightforward reading. There's only so many like different things the player can do to earn an achievement.
It's like Phoenix Wright, where basically all their achievements were you picked the wrong answer. You picked one of the joke answers.
Yeah.
I've seen other games do it where the achievement is something, you know, you do something that you have to do in order to complete the game, and that always felt like cheating. Like, make it to chapter 3 on the Rover storyline.
Yeah, I mean, that's what a lot of ours are, though. It's like, finish a DJ Nibbles ending, finish a Frisky pathway, etc. Just because it seemed like the obvious thing that, that should be in the game. But yeah, I mean, I tried to do other ones too, like the ones I mentioned. One for just looking at the bonus materials, because I haven't seen a single Let's Play that went into the bonus materials yet, so I'm not sure if anyone even looked at them.
Yeah, I feel like I could probably come up with one for each pathway. Like, with the DJ Nibbles one was Nibbling to Victory. It's like, choose a bad campaign slogan for DJ Nibbles.
Oh, wait, okay, that's good. I'm writing that down. Yeah, I mean, we should do that. I was trying to think if I could find, like, a goofy one for each pathway, but I like that. Like, one for, like, one wrong answer in each pathway.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
good.
So, yeah, yeah. One for, you know, choosing the hero, one for choosing the silly DJ Nibbles.
Yeah, that's really good.
Let the doctor fall in love with Lizzie. When the doctor's in the house, I don't know.
Yeah, okay. That's I can absolutely do that. I think I have like 15 achievements right now, so I need more anyway.
Mm-hmm. And let me see. So you said you fixed some typos. I think there was only like one thing I wanted you to change. There were like two. The Frisky randomly shows up in the Rover storyline at
yes,
the end.
Yeah. That's fixed.
Clearly,
now, yeah.
You just programmed it so like the letter F stands for Frisky, but FI stands for Fido, and I'm guessing
it was something like that. Oh, this was a thing that that someone asked for, and it was something that you actually did when you were coding. I want to say the Trapped in a Soap Opera game, and I didn't realize it was a thing you could do, but I saw that you did it. So it's when you have to make a decision, basically the last line of dialogue stays on the screen so you know what you're reacting to.
Oh, yeah. No. That's something you could totally do.
Yeah, I had no idea, but there was a reviewer who complained about it because there were a few points where he forgot what he was supposed to be doing. So I mean, that one was actually kind of a pain because I had to program each decision individually, and there's what, like 20 decisions per pathway, so I had to make 120 changes to the code just to get that to work.
Really? But, I thought it was just you just double type the line. I mean, double press the last line of dialogue before each decision.
Nah, I don't know. It took me a little while.
I don't know.
Maybe I was doing it the slow way.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Okay. But anyway, that's all done now.
I wanted to change that one joke where she's coming up with silly names that start with F.
Yes.
So would I change it from Frankenstein to Frappuccino or no, Ferganacious
Frankenstein we left. I think we got rid of Ferganacious. Yeah,
yeah, so it's Frappuccino? Frankenstein?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, that's fixed. Oh, and the scene with the kitten's classroom,
mm-hmm.
The chalkboard, I erased what was on the chalkboard and typed in cat pun names for all 50 states onto the chalkboard. Because I thought that would be funny. So that happened. That's in the game now.
Yes. I feel like something, I wouldn't say minor, but major, minor, I don't know. I kind of wanted to redo the ending of the Thunderpaw pathway, because DJ Nibbles is mean. I think I remember one reviewer commenting on that. It's like, why is DJ Nibbles so mean at the end of the Thunderpaw pathway?
Oh.
And that is because I wrote the Thunderpaw pathway before the DJ Nibbles pathway, so I had no idea what DJ Nibbles' personality would be like.
Well, you're welcome to if you want. I'm not planning to post the update for another couple of weeks, so I think the June 12th is the day I put it on my calendar to start like completely finalizing everything. If you want to make any changes to that pathway, let me know.
I'll double check it. I think what I need to do is I wrote DLC for it, so I kind of tried to make the DLC fit where in the DJ Nibbles pathway, spoilers for everybody, but there's a debate which turns him evil, and that's sort of one of the jumping off points for his DLC. And so I I just need to rewrite it so it kind of more mirrors evil DJ Nibbles at the debate at the end of the Thunderpaw pathway.
Okay.
But it's basically the storyline is that you're trying to avoid DJ Nibbles turning into an evil monster at the debate. You don't want him you don't want it to be the bad DJ Nibbles ending like where when he tortured Thunderpaw.
Man, I need to finish a project so we can get started on that or get started on producing that one. And then figure out how DLC works. Oh boy.
I was going to say, I know that the smart business move for us to do is to figure out why people liked Cat President and like milk that cash cow for all it's worth. But I kind of like what we're doing with the pizza boy that delivered, pizza delivery boy who saved the world. Because it's sort of the same, but sort of different.
I mean, I think people liked how silly it was, how weird it was, the fact that there were lots of pictures of cute cats, stuff like that.
Yeah, so
I think the art style is like really like, it's either like you think it's really cool or you think it's dumb. Like I guess there's not a lot of in between, but the people who like it are pretty into it, and we're only improving that with Pizza Boy. Now every character has like a bunch of different expressions instead of just being a static photo. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for visual novels going forward, I think this photos idea is what we should do because I think it looks really cool. It's unique. Like there aren't a lot of other there are basically no visual novel developers doing this besides Hatoful Boyfriend with the pigeon characters. I don't know. I think it's cool. I mean, so many visual novel games, basically all of them just have anime art styles. So I think anything we could do to differentiate from that is a good thing.
Yeah, I agree.
So we're starting to run out of time. I did get a couple of questions on Twitter, if you want to go over them real quick.
Yeah, we can do that.
Sure. So just tying back into what we were just talking about, Cat President, Anna Bonarski wants to know, the way she phrased it is, Rover is best candidate? ? And then the answer is yes. But real quick, who's your favorite candidate? Who's your favorite character?
Gosh, DJ Nibbles is the easiest one to write for. I'll go with DJ Nibbles as the easiest one to write for. Dr. Nom Noms is the hardest to write for. I'm not sure if his DLC is going to be at all popular, but what happens is Jason, one of the failed candidates, becomes a villain in that storyline.
Jason was my favorite stock art in the entire game, I think.
Yeah.
It was just a weird-looking cat.
And so I just made it into a whole storyline where he's a villain who tries to sabotage Dr. Nom Noms.
Awesome. Yeah. I still think Kale is my favorite.
What is Kale's DLC? Oh, this is the one that nobody's gonna like.
Oh.
The one where a group of college students decide that he's offensive and they try to ban him.
Oh no.
And let me see. That's the one where Bill comes back and Bill's a monster. Because, what do you call it? Because Bill... this is a problem with writing different storylines at different times. Like, Kale goes to this college, and then in the other storylines, that's where, the main character's evil ex-boyfriend lives. I mean, I know he's there for, I think, the Frisky storyline, isn't he? And I think he also gets mentioned there in the Rover storyline, too. But we go to the college in the Kale storyline, and just never mention him whatsoever. And so what happens is Bill totally sets up Kale / a heroine to just be destroyed because he wants revenge on them.
Oh, Bill.
Bill is awful.
I think we talked about this already, but I tried really hard to cast you as Bill.
Yes.
I tried to make Bill a picture of you, and it didn't work. You wouldn't let me. Instead, you became the henchman.
I like the storylines. Like, Bill, I mean, let me quote the quote just the DLC here. It's like, Bill, are you plotting something evil? Me? No, that's a silly idea. Almost as silly as Kale's computer password. Could you tell me if his password is really just Kale? Heroine, tell you his password's Kale? I'd never do something dumb like that. I know for a fact that Kale's email password is Citizen Kale.
Oh, heroin. No.
Bill, great. Thank you. So I think he hacks and posts something silly. not something silly, but something evil. And Thunderpaw's DLC is him. It's all about his Twitter litter campaign.
Yeah, we'll see. As soon as I can finish anything, we'll add that back to the production schedule, as it were. All right. We also got a couple of questions from Elizabeth Pfeffer. She wants to know, what's your favorite board game?
I don't play board games. Battleship. Actually, wait. Battleship. Yep, that's the one I've played most recently.
I really, really liked Pandemic Legacy that came out a couple of years ago. Kind of an older game called Key to the Kingdom. Everyone should check out if they want. Kind of an adventure game, kind of D&D. Those two are probably my favorite.
Could we make an adventure game based off that?
Probably not. I think they actually just released an app based on the game. Like a iOS version of the board game. Those are cool. And one more question. Sorry, I'm rushing us through, but we're running out of time. Okay. What games have you played for 10 minutes and quit because the game was really stupid?
I would say Nancy Drew the Model Mysteries, except I did do a video walkthrough for it someday because, you know, me playing Nancy Drew video games is clickbait, even the awful licensed ones made by THQ.
Oh, what games have I quit because they're stupid? Man, it takes so much for me to even, like, start a game at this point. Like, I read, like, so many reviews, and then the game has to be really cheap, and it has to kind of pass all these barriers before I'll even start playing a game and start wanting to invest time in it just because I have so little free time. So it rarely even gets to the point where I'm playing a game that has a chance of being dumb. There was a stupid tennis game on a PlayStation Network I played, Racket something. I don't know. I tried to play it online with a couple of my friends, and there were so many problems with it. Like, it was only one versus one, so we couldn't all play at the same time. It was just, they were promoting it as the next Rocket League game, and the whole stupid thing was, there was like one button you could push, and we couldn't figure out how to push the one button. Racket Jam, something with jam in the title. That was dumb. That did not last very long in our game night.
Okay, well, I guess we can wrap this up then.
Yep, I think that about does it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Paul M. Franzen, and Michael is at Argelfumpf, which is spelled exactly as it sounds. You can check out all of our games on Steam or itch.io, or just visit oarock.com for the complete library. We still have two games on Steam Greenlight. They haven't shut that down yet. We probably have, like, a week, maybe? Steam's supposed to give us an update within the next week or two about what's going to happen. So, anyway, yeah, please, 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 please vote for them. The Pizza Delivery Boy Who Saved the World, which we've been talking about today, and the Francie Drew and Friends Collection. Vote, vote, vote. Our theme song is Dead Monster by March of the Danger Men. You can check them out on SoundCloud. And if you have any questions about game development or our game specifically, we would love to hear them. Email them to podcast@oarock.com. And that's about it. Anything you want to add?
Nope. Thank you very much for your support, and please, please vote for our game so we can...
Please.
I want that Pizza Delivery Boy game finished.
I'm on chapter 2. We're getting somewhere. There can't be that many more chapters left,
Isn't
right?
Isn't there like 7?
Oh, gosh. All right. Bye, everybody.
Okay, goodbye.
I'm getting there. I think I'm like a fourth of the way through the script, actually.
Oh, I had a random idea for game. Oh, geez. You know, I think about things to talk in the podcast, and then I forget about them.
Oh, save it for next month if it's a good discussion topic.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say. I think I only half brought up that you know, if we were trying to milk the cash cow that is Cat President, yeah. Figure out which direction we go. Is it because people like political games? So is our next game going to be Help, I've Switched Bodies with President Crazy Pants? Or is it is it because of,
okay.
Or is it because that sounds great. People love the cats? And then it would be Help, my cat, my professor is a cat.
it was such a perfect storm, I think. Like, you know, election fever was hitting. Everyone loves cats. The president's angle was funny. The romance angle was even weirder and funnier. Like, it had so many good elements working for it, I think.
Yeah, but I don't know that. That just...
Yeah.
It was a random idea.
I switched bodies with President Crazy Pants. That's kind of fun. Don't tempt me. That sounds like a fun idea.
But it's like, I had no idea how I would do that. President Chris switched bodies with President Crazy Pants.
Oh, it'd be like a Freaky Friday thing, right? They both closed their eyes and wished really hard that the other person could see things from their point of view, and then they both switch bodies. I mean, that's what we'd have to do. We'd have to do other scenes where President Crazy Pants is in the other person's body, like alternate scenes. Alternating scenes.
Yeah, and so I was like, do I fit this into a cat president? Does it become its own thing?
Oh, jeez. All right, well, we'll talk about this next month.